of Jesus in what he was wanting to teach Mary, Martha, and the crowd that honestly is so profound for us today. Last week we looked at his the tears on the journey to Jerusalem. And we talked about that. I'm not going to spend any extra time reflecting upon that. But we saw the heart behind Jesus' tears. And it doesn't necessarily, it's not what we would immediately assume. It's and we saw that, and we are going to look at two words this morning again in verse 33 that or a phrase that reminds us of his heart in this passage again. But there's some important things that Jesus is wanting to teach them. He's talking about one of the key things that we see in this passage is he's talking about his love. He's talking about his love, and one might say, talking about his love while letting one die. How can that be? That doesn't seem to work together. It seems a little backwards. Yet, what Jesus is, I believe, seeking to bring out in this passage is something far greater than just what they are seeing and feeling. He wants them to get to the heart of the issue. I hope and pray that you and I today, in the world that we live in, that is in chaos and in a mess, and we're celebrating his resurrection today, we need to understand that there are some very important things because of his resurrection, as he's going to talk about here with Mary in this passage. Because of his resurrection, and he's done that now for us. We're post his resurrection. He is alive today. In this case with Mary, it's something still to come. But he's also talking about and pointing to the resurrection to come, that our bodies are going to be made new, and we are going to be given an eternal body, reunited with our soul. There's some important things that Jesus is wanting to teach Mary, Martha, the crowd, and ultimately we see in what is said to Lazarus, that speaks volumes to us about the love of Jesus. The love of Jesus. What does it look like? And that's what I want for us in these moments to glean from this passage this morning. Let's start with a word of prayer before we look at this passage. Gracious Heavenly Father, we want to thank you and praise you, Lord, for the treasure of your word. Lord, your word, it's from you, penned by man, but given to men by the leading and the prompting of the Spirit of God, as your word teaches us in Peter, Lord, that you guided them along to pen these words. And Lord, there is nothing that you have done in time and history that, Lord, was not without purpose, without meaning. What you have allowed, Lord, you desire to be glorified. You desire to receive all glory and honor. And Lord, as we look at this passage here this morning, Father, I pray that you will help us to understand and see your heart and to have a passion for what you say matters. Lord, Mary, Martha, and the crowd were very distracted by the here and now, the present, and what they thought was important. Jesus had something in mind to teach them for that moment, that they fixed their eyes elsewhere. Lord, there's a message in this for us today. Lord, there are so many things that distract us and deter us from what's best and what is right and what is good and what is love. Lord, I pray that you'll help us in these moments to wrap our mind around your heart, that we would understand who you are and what you want to teach us through this experience that took place with Lazarus. Father, thank you for this time. Thank you for each one that's on joining us today. I just pray that you'll just bless our time and encourage us, Lord, from your word. I pray, Lord, that you will be heard through this most of all, that, Lord, you will be heard. Lord, just give your servant the words to say and to speak, but that, Lord, we want you to be glorified and honored through this time. In Jesus' precious and holy name, amen. In John chapter 11, in verses 25 and 26, we see here what Jesus says to Martha. What Jesus says to Martha here in 25 and 26, he says, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, even though he dies, and whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" Jesus is longing to bring out in this circumstance something bigger than Lazarus, something bigger than even their feelings or their emotions of what they're going through. He wants them to get to the heart of the issue, and that is that they fix their eyes upon him. He loves them. Let's remember in the context of this, and Scripture tells us that Jesus loved Martha and Mary and Lazarus. He cared for them. If we believe that, then we have to take what we read here and what takes place in this passage, and we have to filter it through that truth. The love of God is being displayed and shown through this journey for Martha, Mary, and the crowd, and for Lazarus. We can look at it. They were looking at it. We can look at it, the situation today, and say, well, boy, that's not very loving that he chose to handle it the way that he did, right? That would be our natural inclination. I want to remind us and be refreshed of in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, another important truth that we need to wrap our minds around of what the gospel is and what what is life all about, what is the spiritual journey, the spiritual walk, what does it look like? And in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 1 through 4, it says, "Now, brothers, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and on which you have taken your stand. By this gospel, you are saved. If you hold firmly to the word I preached to you, otherwise you have believed in vain. For what I receive, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Peter and then to the 12. And after that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers at the same time." We see here, we are given a clear picture of what the gospel message is, what needs to be understood and to be known. We need to believe it. We need to live it and understand these things, and we know that ultimately that understanding and that belief comes through the marvelous grace of God. He teaches us, he leads us, he guides us to the truth, right? But Scripture also says, if you seek him, you will find him. Well, as we look at this passage back here in John, and go back to revisit this today, again, there's some important things taking place here that that do create different emotions and feelings, not only amongst Martha, Mary, and the crowd, but we even see with Jesus. And I want for us to be reminded in verse 4, 11 and verse 4 of John, it says, when he heard this, when they had, actually, I should really back up. Let me just go ahead and start with 11, verse 1. It says, now a man named Lazarus was sick, and he was from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. This Mary, whose brother Lazarus now lay sick, was the same one who poured perfume on the Lord and wiped his feet with her hair. So the sisters sent word to Jesus, Lord, the one you love is sick. Lord, the one you love is sick. Right? It's clear here. Jesus, not only is Martha saying that you love him, or Mary says this, but Jesus loves them. He loves them. When he heard this, Jesus said, this sickness will not end in death. No, it is for, why? Why is this taking place? What is it that God, Jesus, was wanting to do through this journey? What was it for? To bring glory to him, so that God's Son may be glorified through it. That God's Son might be glorified through this journey. That was the purpose that God had intended for this. My friends, it's no different for us today in the things that the Lord allows in our lives. The Lord allows things in our lives, the very thing that we are experiencing today, in our world, in our state, in our town, in our country. These things are happening with design, with purpose. God has allowed it to happen. But ultimately, he always longs for glory to be brought to himself through it. As a follower of Christ, what is our motivation? What is our purpose in living out our faith? What is it? What is the purpose and why and why we live, that we've been saved and redeemed? We've been called out and we've been given new life. He's taken what was dead and given it life. Why? What is the purpose behind it? It's that we might truly be able to bring glory and honor to him. But in order for us to bring glory and honor to him, and for us to experience all that he desires to do through us, we have to believe and understand who he is and what he's done, and to realize that at the center, the heart of what he's doing, it's love. Love. Yes, there's many other things of Jesus, is God's justice and all of these different things, but my friends, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. The love of Jesus is being displayed, and it is being displayed over and over and over. He's longing for it to be displayed in our lives in every circumstance. And I believe Jesus here in this passage is so longing for them to understand. Get your focus off of what you are seeing of the temporal things, and will you believe that I am who I say that I am, and that you will be filled to the fullness of what I want to give to you in life? And we see here in this passage they're missing it. And Jesus has some things, how he responds and what he says and how he says it and the emotion that is behind it. And we see what this love is all about. Jesus loved Martha, Mary, and Lazarus. He cared for them. He loves them. We should know that. We know that. And so now knowing that truth, let's see what he does that displays that love. Mary and Martha, whom Jesus loved, sent word to Jesus that Lazarus, the one whom you love, is sick. And we just looked at that here a few moments ago. And we see that in 11:4. In 11:4, Lazarus' death, though, was for a purpose. I mean, we see here, he says, this sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it. Jesus was allowing this. I feel like I'm throwing my locks behind me, right? excuse me. This sickness had design. It had purpose. Jesus delayed his going for a purpose. Was Jesus being mean? Was he being harsh? Was he being unkind? Was he being unloving in not going immediately? Is that the character of God? We know it's not. We know that's not his motivation. We know that's not his character. That's not who Jesus is. And yet, in these moments, they were allowing their feelings and their concerns and, yes, their love for their brother to ultimately take them down a path that was leading them away from fixing their eyes on Jesus. Do we want the very best in life? Do we want what God has purposed for us that is going to be the very best? Then he says, fix your eyes on me, focus on me, see what I have done, and that I might be glorified. Remember my character, remember who I am, that and believe it, and then live it out that I might be glorified, he says. It's for his glory, for his praise. It's all about Jesus. The resurrection day, it's all about Jesus. Thinking about this day in history when Jesus came out of the grave, alive, conquering death, and through that giving you and I hope, giving us purpose. It was love, Jesus' love. Yes, it was also his justice. Jesus had to pay the price. He had to pay the ultimate price, pay for the perfect gift. He had to do that for you and for me. Well, let us never forget who Jesus is. Ultimately, he is one of grace and truth. And we can look at that in John chapter 1 and verse 14. John 1:14 tells us, in John 1:14, he tells us, right there it is. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. That is who Jesus is. Jesus is full of grace and he is truth. That's who Jesus is. Do you understand that? Do I understand that today? That is who Jesus is. Grace. Grace. Jesus constantly giving of himself to us in ways that we do not deserve. Grace, over and over and over. That's who Jesus is. Jesus is now in this scenario, in this situation, these moments here with this family who is living in brokenness because death has taken place. And they have allowed themselves to be swept away in different ways by unbelief and also by a distorted view of Jesus' motives, questioning his motivation for what he is doing here. Why did you do what you did, Jesus? He offers grace and truth to redeem us from the very pit of hell. Let's never forget that. That's what he does. That's the biggest thing of all, right? Is that we are redeemed and set free from the pit, and we're going to look at that. We're going to see that lived out and proclaimed very clearly here at the end of our thoughts this morning. Jesus is longing for us, my friend, to see him for who he is and what he does. And Jesus was longing for Martha and Mary and the crowd to see him for who he was. And they weren't. But Jesus was allowing this to be a tremendous teaching lesson for them. I'm going to show you what love does. And it's not what you would think naturally what love would do. He wants for us to know the fullness of him and that he is the best, that he is our hope, that he truly, that our hope is truly found in him and him alone. He wants for us to understand that our hope, the fullness of life is found in Jesus alone. It's not found in the life of my brother. It's not found in the life of my father or my loved ones. Life, true life is not found there. It's found in Jesus. It's found in him alone. That's what he wants for them to begin to understand, is get your focus on what is true. Does it mean that these relationships don't matter? Not at all. Not at all. Of course they matter. But how do we deal with these struggles, and how do we go through them? And he wants more than ever to show up in these moments and to give us strength and courage. I can just, and I've shared it so many times, but it's so true. I think of the 3 years that God taught myself and our family so much. And I'm telling you, God showed up. Jesus showed up, and he gave grace, and he gave truth to us. He gave us an understanding, gave it to me, of this understanding that I can move on with joy and with peace in the midst of physical trials and suffering, amongst losing our father. Oh, we loved him. Wonderful dad. Couldn't have asked for a better father. But I'm telling you, to know the truth and the grace of God, the grace of Jesus that he offers to us because he is alive, because Jesus rose from the grave, my dad is alive today. He didn't miss a beat. He didn't miss a beat. And to think about our with the house fire and stuff. Here today, gone tomorrow. And it's true. I mean, we're living in a time when we begin to wonder what's going to happen with our stuff. And we can find ourselves getting all consumed in it. But let's don't. Jesus says, will you see what I'm doing, the love that I'm showing you through the challenges and the struggles? I am allowing your brother to die because of love, because I have something great to show you. Do you see that, my friends? It's bigger than the here and now. Jesus wants to teach us of who he is, and that in the midst of this broken life, which we are promised it's going to happen, we live in a broken and messed up world. It's promised. It's going to be a place of many troubles and hardship and trials. It's guaranteed. God's word tells us. But he says, there's hope. Because I have overcome the world. Fix your eyes on me. Keep your focus on the truth of my love for you. And when you know that I am acting out of love towards you, he cares for us. When we know that he's doing that, we can trust him. And we can find great strength and encouragement in this journey. We see three conversations that take place here in John chapter 11. There are three conversations, and each questioning truly the motives. Two questioning his motives, actually. The third one is much different, okay? We see that there is responses given in each of these scenarios. What does love look like? What does it look like? Well, the conversations in which we look at here, and as we look at Martha here in John 11, Martha says in verse 24, I know he will rise again. Let me back up. I'm sorry. Verse 21, Lord, Martha said to Jesus, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. My brother would not have died. But she has an understanding here of something that's coming, something that's good. She's got an understanding of who Jesus is here. She does say, but I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask. She knows that there's a God that's the Father that is powerful, who is willing and can redeem and save and or resurrect. Martha answered, I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. She understands. So she's got some understanding here. She's recognizing some things to come. But there's something that Jesus is wanting to teach her in the midst of this. And that's when we go on to see in verse 25, Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? My friends, Jesus is wanting to show Martha here in these moments of who he is, reminding her that he is the resurrection. You have your focus, Martha, fixed upon your brother who has died, and you have forgot about what I have proclaimed to you and who I am. He says, I am the resurrection and the life, and if Lazarus believes in me, if he knows me, he's not going to experience death. He's just asleep. He's simply sleeping. You go from one life to the next. We don't miss a beat. There's not a moment lost. When we breathe our last as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, we are immediately in the presence of our Savior. Absent from the body, Paul says, is to be present with the Lord. That is our promise. That is our hope. That's the truth. That is the truth. Jesus is grace and truth, and that is the truth of the matter. And Jesus is saying, Martha, I have allowed your brother to die for this purpose. I want you to understand, put your focus on me. Stop focusing on your brother whom has hope. He has hope because of his belief in you. He has hope already. But I'm wanting to teach you, Martha, that fix your eyes on me. Be filled with my love, with my grace, with who I am. And there's great hope and purpose to get through life. Don't fix your eyes on those things that lead us away from Jesus. When you think of death and we think, well, if Jesus loves us, he would never allow us to go through physical health issues or problems, that we should be able to have the mindset of, if I know Jesus and if he loves me, health, wealth, and prosperity should be the name of the game, right? If he loves me, he's always going to give me everything good, everything that I want, and so on. But that's not the focus at all. In fact, Jesus tells us, he said, if you love me and if you follow me, you are going to suffer greatly for it. It's a promise. It is not about our physical comfort that he's interested in. It's about experiencing Jesus in the midst of our discomfort. Martha, will you understand who I am, and will you fix your eyes on me in the midst of this broken moment and know the truth? know the truth about your situation. Just focus on me. And you let me give you grace. Remember who Jesus is? He's grace and truth. Let me, Jesus, give you grace as he did with Paul when Paul had the thorn in the flesh and he was longing to be redeemed from it. And the Lord said to him, my grace is sufficient for you, Paul. My grace is sufficient. Jesus is teaching them what real love, and he loves them enough to let the brother die so that they can be taught some important lessons here. It doesn't make sense from a human perspective, but my friends, we're not about living out in our economy. We're to seek to live out God's economy, live in his economy, think his way. He's called us to be transformed, a renewing of the mind, to think in a different way, right? Do not fix your eyes on the things around you, but fix your eyes on Jesus. Whoever believes in me, he says, will never taste death, because he gives us eternal life. He gives us eternal life. That's what God's word teaches us. Eternal life. Is eternal life something that is disrupted? No. From our perspective, it feels that way because the flesh goes to the grave. But spiritually, we have been made alive. What makes you a follower of Christ, or what makes you a part of the body of Christ? It's when your spirit becomes alive and you experience and treasure the fullness of Christ, of him now living in you. We accept that he died, was buried, and rose from the grave. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the resurrection chapter. And then we see the conversation with Mary. And we see in verse 32, when Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. And then Jesus sees her weeping, and she comes and she falls at his feet and she's weeping. But my friends, and we looked at this here a little bit last week, or we talked about it. It's two times of weeping here at this moment with Lazarus, and then when he was entering into Jerusalem. But his word tells us that his heart is anything but compassion here. These words, and they're only used a couple times in the New Testament, but these words are not compassion. These words are a sense of anger or of indignation of what is, this is not okay. And Jesus is saying in his heart, and he weeps as he sees that they are living in unbelief and they're questioning his motives. Why weren't you here, Jesus? If you loved us, if you loved Lazarus, why weren't you here? And Jesus responds with an immediate question of, where did you lay him? Where did you lay him? But we see his heart. His word tells us that Jesus is weeping because there has been stirred up in him this feeling of anger towards Mary and what she has said and what she has done. But let's remember this. Jesus is acting out of love in his anger, righteous anger, because what Mary is doing is being distracted again by things of the here and now, the peripheral, rather than fixing her mind upon the truth, one who is full of grace and truth, and choosing to fix her eyes on other things. On her own feelings, on her own wants and her own desires, rather than fixing her eyes on Jesus. Jesus says, where is he? Where did you put him? Where has he been laid? Because Jesus is now going to show and reveal something else of what love and his heart is in this journey for this family. He's told them, I am the resurrection and the life. He's taught them. He showed them. They've seen other miracles. They've seen other things going on. they've had ample opportunities to believe that his motivation is pure, that he is who he says that he is. But here he is having to remind them in these moments that you must believe me, you must trust me, you must trust my character of who I am. He says, "Come and see, Lord," they replied in verse 34. Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying?" So we see Mary asking kind of the same question, and now you have the crowd saying, I mean, if he's who he says he is, shouldn't he have done this? Shouldn't he have been able to do this? Well, absolutely, Jesus could do it. But Jesus wanted them to get their focus off of this stuff and put their focus upon him. And that is where they're going to find fullness of life. That's where they're going to find true life and true hope. It's not in the things around them, but in Jesus alone, that we might be filled in the fullness of Christ and who he is. We go on to see then that he now is going to the grave where Lazarus lays. My friends, this is love because Jesus was wanting them to understand that their thoughts, their questioning is keeping them from the very best in knowing him. You hear that? That their focus was in wrong places. Their focus was on things that was taking them, sapping the joy and the hope from their life, because they were failing to believe that the character of Jesus was good, ultimately, and that he loved them. Well, of course he loved them. And yes, he wanted for them to know death means nothing to Jesus because he's conquered it. He says he's going to rise again. And yes, it's true that again in the resurrection, there's coming a day. This is basically just a precursor, a reminder that the resurrection is here today, Mary. It's today. I'm going to raise Lazarus from the dead, and you are going to see that I am the resurrection and the life. Fix your eyes on me. Remember who I am, and you are going to experience the fullness of life, the best in whatever circumstances you live. And my friends, we can have that because of what we're celebrating today. He is truly the resurrection. He is alive today, and he revealed himself to many people, and 500 at one time. There was many that witnessed the resurrected Savior. Oh, what a praise. Well, Jesus calls out Lazarus, and we see in verse 34, "Where have you laid him?" he asked. Martha says in verse 39, she says, "But Lord," said Martha, the sister of the dead man, "by this time there is a bad odor. He stinks. He's dead. He's bloated. Whatever. This is not going to be good. He has been dead in the grave for 4 days and decomposition has begun. How can you desire to go and want to see the stench?" But even here, there's this failure to remember that Jesus is the resurrection and the life, that he can take what is very dead and stench, full of death, and bring it to life. And isn't this a clear picture of what he does for you and for me as sinners before a holy and righteous God? A sinner that is saved by the grace of God, he takes us in our death. We have nothing to offer. We are spiritually dead before a holy and righteous God. We have nothing to offer him. Nothing. Yet he calls us out as he did with Lazarus, and he says, "Lazarus, rise up. Come out." And that's what he does for us, is he calls us to himself, and when we are willing to hear his voice and obey And as he prompts and leads and woos us to himself, and we respond by believing 1 Corinthians 15, what the gospel says, that he died for our sins, and he was buried, and he rose on the third day, resurrection day, as we're celebrating. When we believe these things, you have life. And he's teaching that to them. This is what love is, as I want to show you what my love is for you, and this death that you are witnessing, get your focus off of it and recognize who I am and what I say I will do, and what it's not only going to be right now, I'm going to raise Lazarus from the dead, but there's coming a day when every believer whose body has been laid to rest, their soul immediately in the presence of the Lord, when we breathe our last, we step from this life to the next, and in his presence. My friends, that's a promise. That's a promise, and we look forward to it. And so what a joy. What a joy to look forward to this. Jesus loves us so much. Jesus loved Lazarus. And he calls him out, and he says, remove the shackles, the grave clothes, the mummy that is living, walking dead, and give him life, set him free from the bondage of death, and give him new life. My friends, I hope and pray that you understand, that we understand the love of Jesus, that we understand the love of Jesus. He wants so much to teach us of his goodness and his grace. Well, what love he has for us, that he might redeem us from a place of death. What a truth. What a treasure. I hope and pray that you're walking in that newness of life. I hope that you have expressed your need for a Savior. You've placed your faith and trust in the finished work of Christ, and you know him as your Savior. What love he gives to us. This is what love looks like. What love looks like in his economy. It looks very different than what the world offers. Have you accepted it? Do you believe it? And are we able to allow the fullness of Christ to live through us and to do his work through us in the midst of the messes of our life? He wants to teach us through this time. And it's just like it was for Mary, Martha, and the crowd. This is what love looks like. Just fix your eyes on me. Allow the fullness of Christ to be all that I can give to you, he says. Walk in newness of life. You are alive, not dead any longer. Yeah, your body's going to go to the grave, but you are alive spiritually. All right. I hope and pray, my friends, that you know the risen Savior. I hope and pray that you know him personally. And if you don't, by simple faith, you can make that decision to place your faith and trust in Christ. We're sinners saved by grace through his shed blood upon the cross. This is where the forgiveness of sin comes from. I want to close this morning with our another song, and At the Cross. And so invite you to sing along as we reflect upon this message and the call for us and how we should view him as our Savior. Amen. His love for us, and we owe all to him. But my friends, I hope and pray that as we think about the heart of Jesus and what he was wanting to teach Martha and Mary and the crowd through the death of Lazarus, and some important truths he was wanting to teach them of his love, his care for them, and he was asking for them to experience the fullness of him. Put your focus on him in the midst of your trials. Why? Because he truly deserves all the glory. He deserves the glory, my friends. And that should be our heart's desire. As a believer, as we walk through this life, that we bring glory and honor to him and to him alone. That's our purpose. And he is wanting to show us through this wonderful story that he allowed what doesn't seem so loving, but because of his love, he was taking them through this to show them the hope, the joy, the peace that is found in him alone. So I hope you are experiencing that today. And it's, I hope, a great challenge for us for the coming days ahead.